I think it was Thursday night, we had 72 children. But I think altogether was registered, there were probably about 80 kids. But to have 72 kids singing in here, I was actually back there underneath that television screen, and I could feel the floor bouncing up and down. And it was like an earthquake in here, because they really get into it. And it would not be a success if so many people didn't give of their time. Those who did decorations, you know who you are, and those who did snack and recreation. Monty's probably asleep somewhere. I don't know. I think Courtney did all the work, though. And those who did crafts and those who did music. Why do you do music here? You got to be in shape. But we could not have pulled it off this year. The Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. We could have not done it this year if Connie last year hadn't gone and had done all the footwork. So please give her some acknowledgement. Also, I just want to remind some of you, or as many as you can, after Sunday school today, we're going to take everything down. And everything that fits in trash bags, we're going to put it out on the street there for them to pick up tomorrow. We don't keep our decorations, so if any of your kids want a big box for their room or time machine or anything, you can have it. The only thing that's got to go back are the buckets. So hang on to those. So remember afterwards to help and stay and take everything down. There's the hallway and downstairs and all over the place. Praise God. God is good, isn't he?
Amen.
Amen, all the time. Today we're going to be talking about, well, first let's stand for the reading of the scripture. It's in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. Paul wrote this to the Ephesian church. I love this prayer. This is a powerful prayer. It says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. The title of the message today is Better Than Miracles. I know I've had many miracles happen in my life. I've seen God heal my kids instantaneously. I've seen many miracles, and I've probably shared some of them with you. But there's something that's better than miracles. Wisdom is better than miracles. You may have heard this story. It actually happened. There was a corporation out there that recently installed a stray dog as their senior vice president. Yeah. And the announcement went out in the company bulletin and read something like this. His ability to get along with anyone, his prompt response to a pat on the back, his interest in watching others work, and his great knack for looking wise while saying nothing make him unnatural for this position. The Bible talks about foolishness and wisdom a lot. And what it says about foolishness is those people that talk a lot are usually fools. Those who have wisdom usually don't say a lot. I was a part of a church, I was a pastor of a church where there was this lady who had been the treasurer for decades. Her name was Jane. Very quiet lady. She's in her 80s by the time that I left the church, and she's still the treasurer. And Jane didn't speak much in prayer meetings or Bible studies or in board meetings. But when she spoke, everybody turned and listened to Jane because they knew that she was a woman of wisdom. God is wanting more of us to be filled with his wisdom, because wisdom is more important and better than miracles. You see, in the Old Testament, we see God do great miracles. He fed the children of Israel manna every day for 40 years. And what did they do? They whined and they complained and they bellyached. And they still turned away from God after he provided for them miraculously. They still worship a golden calf after that. They still worship false gods. Miracles never change people. We see that he divided the Red Sea so they could escape the Egyptians.
and their lives were saved. And not long after that, once again, they fell back into worshiping false gods and idols. We see in the New Testament, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, and he does miracles of healing people who were blind and deaf. And yet people would fall right back into false worship, or fall right back into apathy and complacency. Miracles have never changed anybody. Never at all. He fed the 5,000, you remember, plus all their children, with just a couple fish and some bread. Didn't change the people's hearts at all. What we need today, and what Paul is praying for his church, is that we have a spirit of what? Wisdom. Revelation and wisdom. The church today, if ever needed the spirit of revelation and wisdom, it's now. We're living in dark times. If you haven't noticed how the world just seems about ready to erupt with all kinds of division. Fools run their mouths a mile a minute, but the wise, not so much. You never know what people have been through. Sometimes that's what gives them such wisdom, the hurts and the circumstances that shape them. And they go to God, and God, through their experiences and through your experience, can give you wisdom. I've met people in their 20s that had God's wisdom because they asked for it. Here's my definition of wisdom. I don't know if it's right, but it's just one. Wisdom is knowing God well enough to cooperate with Him. Did you get that? Wisdom is knowing God well enough to cooperate with Him. Have you been cooperating with God? Are you doing God's will for your life, your purpose, your destiny here on earth? Or are you just living your life for yourself? God has a greater plan for you. God has a reason for you being here on this earth and breathing and living here. More than just your career, more than just your family. He has something that He wants you to do, and you can only do it through the spirit of wisdom and revelation. He needs to reveal to you what your purpose is. So start asking Him. Ask Him over and over and over again. The first thing we're looking at in our notes today is wisdom is profitable. Here's the scripture again that Paul gives to them. He says, I keep asking. Have you ever prayed a prayer over and over and over again until it becomes powerful? So that's what Paul is doing, because I keep asking that the God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know Him better. I want to know Him better. I'm getting older now. I'm getting closer to that day where I'm going to be in a, well, don't put me in a casket. I don't want to be in a casket. Cremate me. And you know, when I was in my 40s, I never thought about death. When you're a teenager or a kid, you never think about death. You're invincible. But I'm getting closer now, and I'm thinking about these kind of things. And what I want to do is I want to know Him better, because I'm going to be spending eternity with Him. So Lord, give me that spirit of wisdom and revelation. Which is better, to get a miracle or to know the miracle maker personally? I know the miracle worker personally. Praise God. Amen. What's more profitable is to know the miracle maker, not to have a miracle. Israel saw those miracles over and over and over again, and still went back into complaining and whining and false gods. God has created us to shine for Him, not to whine at Him. Hello? What is wisdom? It's being deeply informed. It's having foresight. It's having insight. It's having good judgment. And the Spirit of God can give that to us. Paul wrote this to the Corinthian church. He says, for the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. The opposite of wisdom is ignorance, foolishness, stupidity, shallowness, and not caring to really be informed. The second thing we're going to look at today is this. Only wisdom can fix or save our relationships. Look what Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 12 says. It says, but God made the earth by his power. That's one thing. The earth and the world are different. And he founded the world by his wisdom. The earth is just the physical, the material. And he made this beautiful creation that we see around us by his power. But he also made something else. It says he founded the world, that is, the social, the political, the relational, the intellect, the world system, he created by his wisdom. We need his wisdom. We need his wisdom on how those children that were here to continue to serve Christ. Because someday it may be illegal here in the United States. I mean, we don't really picture Islam taking over in the United States, you know, terrorist type of Islam. I don't know how many of you have been up to Mayo Clinic. There's an awful lot of ladies there that are wearing black and only you can see their eyes. And that's right in America. In my hometown, I see that so much. Things are changing. Christianity is not really the number one religion in the United States anymore. There's so many false gospels out there and false Jesuses out there. We need wisdom. God, give us wisdom. We have our worldview, most of us, but what we need is his worldview. When Harry Truman was thrust into the presidency, was anybody alive back then? I don't want to pick on you, don't raise your hands. We have some old folks here, older than me, believe it or not. When Harry Truman was thrust into the presidency by the death of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Sam Rayburn took him aside and he said to Harry, he said, from here on out, you're going to have lots of people around you and they're going to try to put a wall around you and cut you off from any ideas but theirs. They'll tell you what a great man you are, Harry, but you and I know you ain't. Sometimes we think we're wise in our own eyes. We need the wisdom of God. We need wisdom in childbearing. Wouldn't it be a miracle if God would just raise the children for us? I mean, I had my grandson all week. He's 6 years old. And I don't know what they put in that kid. But that kid, he can't sit still. He can't shut up. And then you give him sugar. And like, he actually bounces off the walls. Literally bounces off the furniture. Wouldn't it be a miracle if God raised children? We need wisdom in raising our children. If God would just raise them, there wouldn't be any behavioral problems, right? They would never be lying, they'd never be stealing, they'd never be cheating, they'd never be rebelling or talking back. They wouldn't be bullied or they wouldn't become bullies. They wouldn't have emotional problems. They wouldn't have health problems. But God has put them in our trust. And he says, you need my wisdom on how to raise your children in the Lord. You need to pray, and I'm praying for you, Paul said. I'm praying that the Lord will give you a spirit of wisdom. It doesn't stop there in Revelation. What has God revealed to you lately, personally? One of these days I'm going to surprise you all. And the sermon's all going to be you. You're all going to get up and you're going to give a testimony that God has showed you and revealed to you. Wouldn't that be great? And I'm not going to announce it. So somebody said, I'm not coming back to church here ever now. Just trying to get you to see the importance of this. Wisdom is dealing sometimes with trauma, grief, and abuse in our life. I don't know if I shared this story or not, but I think my father died before I moved here. And my father was an odd son of a duck. You think I'm weird? He was really strange. I'm quite normal compared to my father, believe it or not. I always knew there was something different about him, but I found out that he had done some really horrible things. And I found out right while he was on his deathbed, to the point that I didn't even want to go out to his funeral.
A man should have been in prison for the things that he did.
My sister was there, and she got to confront my father, ask him to repent of his sins. And she was there when he died, but I didn't. When I got there, I wanted to pull his body out of the casket. I'm being literal here. I wanted to pummel him for the things that he had done. God had to give me wisdom on how to move past that and move through that. It took a while to heal. You know, we look at the world, there's such foolish things going on. I'm sorry if I offend you, but if you watch the Jerry Springer show, that's foolishness. You know, you go on there and it's about your mother married her brother, so your father is also your uncle. And your uncle had an affair with your aunt, who's really your sister. We were living in Lake St. Louis in an apartment for a little while, and the people above us were moving. And Bonnie and I thought, well, it'd be nice. They had no one helping them. They were moving to Wyoming. So we said, well, we'll help you. Be a good Christian. And they had boxes and boxes and boxes of VCR tapes and DVDs of Jerry Springer. I mean, I drop them, they're falling all down the stairs, and I'm thinking, how are you going to be able to relate to your children? They're arguing, they're fighting. We need the wisdom of God. The third thing we're going to look at today is wisdom can kill worry and anxiety. I love that one because sometimes I get a little anxious. And the scripture of Micah says, and to fear your name is wisdom. To fear the name of God is the wisdom that we need. In Psalm 111, verse 10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We need to focus on Jesus and not focus on our fears. We need to have a healthy fear and reverence for God. Fear Him because He will judge us someday. There will be a judgment day. In Hebrews it says, is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. We will be judged by every idle word that we spoke. We will be judged by our deeds. The gospel in America has been preached lately is, if you really love Jesus, you'll be rich. We don't see that, though, in the gospels, do we? There's a lot of false gospels of things out there. That's why Paul is praying for the church. You need a spirit of wisdom and revelation. We need to be accountable. The scripture also says, a fool says in his heart, there is no God. Anger and rage, if you've ever dealt with it, turns into anxiety. And then the anxiety turns into depression and worry. And then depression then turns into fear. And the only thing that will dismantle this kind of fear is having a fear for our almighty, holy, reverent God, who is in charge of everything, the whole universe. And when we put Him first, everything else sort of fades away. Amen. This is a powerful prayer that Paul prays, teaching us to pray. Lord, that I may have a spirit of wisdom and revelation to know you better. A fourth thing I'd like us to talk about today is wisdom is of more value than money, riches, and possessions. I love this verse in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 11 where it says, wisdom is of more value than money, riches, and possessions. But then it goes on and says, wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare to her. So if you don't have much money today, and you're struggling to meet ends meet, if you have wisdom, you're richer than anybody else. I'm just dropping everything today. BBS wore me right out, I guess. One of the tests of leadership is to recognize a problem before it becomes an emergency. And if you're a parent, you're a leader.
And you need God's wisdom. You need wisdom from God. We all need wisdom from God. If you're married, you need wisdom in your marriage. Relationships, we need wisdom. James says, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives it generously, and it will be given to you. Wisdom doesn't wait for a crisis to happen. Wisdom stops and avoids many crises. But if the crisis does come, God gives us the wisdom to help us to lessen the blow of the crisis. Will you pray with me today? Will you repeat this prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesians and he's praying for the church? Will you repeat after me? Lord God, please give me, the spirit of wisdom, and revelation, to know you better. In Jesus' name. Amen.
If you stand and sing, open my eyes that I may see.